Soikos. What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time? Soikos. 844-96 party. What is it?
Soikos. Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who gets to be the arbiter of truth on social media now? Is it just up to each platform to figure out what they think the truth is and what they're going to focus their content moderation on? Because now, according to a judge,
a Trump-appointed judge.
Well, it's actually, the ruling has not come down yet. It's just the injunction. But it's kind of, I feel like this went under the radar a little bit. But in a major First Amendment case earlier this week, a Trump-appointed federal judge in Louisiana blocked certain agencies in the Biden administration, including the FBI, the Department of Health and Human Services, CDC, Department of Justice, from talking to social media companies about content containing protected free speech. And I'm just interested because this is already on the heels of social media companies beginning to unwind some of the programs created to address disinformation. So, I mean, most notably, probably we can say Elon Musk, since he took over Twitter, made huge cuts to their trust and safety division. They've increased their reliance on community notes, which is basically crowdsourced fact-checking. Meta, obviously the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, they laid off staff working in content moderation amid financial pressure. I know YouTube has rolled back what they will or will not allow on the platform. And for years, though, this is like on, going on 10 years, so multiple administrations, executive agencies have been working with social media companies to arm them with the correct information as they make choices about content moderation. But now this is going to change that. And so I guess I'm left asking your opinion of, in a time when we're trying to, I think we want to curb misinformation and disinformation while balancing free speech, where's the line? What is the truth? And who gets to decide whether or not this is accurate or not? And I'm not convinced that the government is, because I think there's, you know, you study history enough and the government doesn't always have the truth in mind.
This is true, yes.
But it's just, this case makes it feel like it also opens it up back to just more Wild West. What is real, what is not? And it's just up to whoever is in charge of content moderation on these platforms. So 844-967-2789. Who should be the arbiter of truth on social media platforms? Is it just left up to the bosses of those companies? What do you think, Jane Manner?
You know, I think there's several different ways to look at this. And certainly the free speech issue is very important. At the same time, in the last 8 years, the amount of disinformation that has spread on social media about so many different things, but the thing that comes to mind most prominently for me is all the vaccine disinformation. Mm-hmm. And I've talked before about the number of stories I did with experts about ivermectin and drinking bleach and all of these other things which are bad for you. And I think allowing stuff like that to just go out there completely unencumbered is dangerous.
Is it free speech?
Well, if you want to drink bleach, I guess you go ahead. But
is it just Darwinian, the Darwinian games.
But if that's gonna, if that's what they want, then we need to take warning labels off of everything. If we're just gonna go back to Darwin, you know, good luck. Then take the warning labels off of food products. Take away all the warning labels, including don't eat the pizza when it's frozen.
Is there a warning label that says don't eat the pizza when it's frozen?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know. what will get you sick in there?
Well, but again, remove cardboard before placing an oven.
Do not put baby in plastic tub.
And leave. You know, so I don't know where that line should be, but I think this flow of completely unfettered BS is dangerous.
I definitely think it's dangerous, and I definitely think there needs, that's ultimately, this is what the companies do. Like, as a platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, like, these are not companies that create their own content. They only rely on the content being created by their users, and their job is to make sure that the platform works and is user friendly and is, you know, fun to be on.
Right.
And part of being fun to be on or informative or valuable is creating a space where people, you know, and depending on what platform you're on, if you're on something like 4chan that is unfettered uncensorship or whatever, that is the value you get out of there, being able to say whatever you want. I think most of us, a lot of us who are also like kind of disenchanted with Twitter right now, are feeling like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. Like, this doesn't feel that fun. And so, like, you ultimately potentially can be losing users by not having your content moderation guidelines create a space where people want to be. And maybe that is, you know, like free market thoughts of, as far as like, this is the choices you make as a company. So maybe that is the answer. It's up to the company. But it also is just dangerous. I mean, it's also just dangerous because the media literacy of the average person, I'm not convinced, is always that high. And like, and I see this even from, you know, I have people who leave comments on my content that I put online, some of whom school me and are obviously but have more information and better information than I do on certain topics that I sometimes talk about. And then there's some people who don't know the difference between the U.S. Senate and the state Senate. And I'm not saying that as like, oh, that means you're dumb. It just means like, oh, like you need more information. And so like you're making assumptions without full information. And that's not even that bad of an example as far as people leaving comments thinking that they know when they don't. But media literacy is a thing when you're like perpetually online. And so whose responsibility does it become to vulnerable users to make sure that there is some modicum of truth to what gets posted?
Can't we send all the people who want to ingest ivermectin and bleach, can't they just all go to the 4chan? And then send them all there.
Or Truth Social?
Yeah, or Truth Social.
I mean, I think there are probably a lot of them there already. I've never set foot on 4chan. I have no idea what it looks like or what it feels like, but I've just heard.
Yeah.
That it's...
I've heard also.
It's something. Yeah. But I would love to hear from you as far as where do you feel like... Whose responsibility is it for content moderation and also to... For the truth when it comes to our existence on social media? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because, and we're talking about this because on Tuesday, on the 4th of July, a federal judge blocked the Biden administration and certain key agencies and officials from meeting and communicating with social media companies. And it's pretty extraordinary. This was an injunction, not a ruling. In an ongoing case, it like could have a huge effects on the First Amendment. And so it came as a response to a lawsuit brought by Republican attorneys general in Louisiana and Missouri, who basically alleged that the government officials went too far in their efforts to encourage social media companies to address posts that they were worried contributed to vaccine hesitancy during the pandemic. or the elections. And now this injunction and, like, probably most likely upcoming ruling could undo years, like basically a decade worth of effort to enhance coordination between government and social media companies, because they've been working in criminal activity that includes like child sexual abuse and terrorism,
trafficking.
Like there's a lot more things that the government has been communicating with social media on beyond vaccine information and election truthyism. And this started before the Biden administration. Like, this is not just something that is unique to the pandemic, to the 2020 election. This is something that's been ongoing because it's that important, because social media companies play such a huge role in how information gets disseminated in our culture. And so if this is now going to change what that dynamic and relationship can be of where social media companies are getting what they, I guess up until now, would seem to be the best information from public health agencies, from the Department of Justice, where do they get that information from to make their decisions on for content moderation? 844-967-2789. We got a message on the YouTube live from Tony Zimmerman. I think in my media courses in college, we talked about how the younger you are, the higher your media literacy is. So that's good.
Well, I think we can tell by the number of seniors who have fallen just for scams. I think young people, I would hope for the most part, are a little bit more savvy.
I don't know. I won't out which family member it was, but he was pretty young when he fell for a Nigerian prince who wanted to buy his car.
You mean that didn't happen?
This was back in like 2002 or 2003.
No.
He got scammed and he was not 21 yet. So
valuable lesson there.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but would love to hear from you on this topic. Without the government involvement, who should be the arbiter of truth on social media? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
People call me on the phone I'm trying to avoid. Well, can the people on TV see me, or am I just paranoid? When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, 'cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And happy Friday. It's going to be beautiful this weekend.
It is.
The heat broke.
We could still use some more rain. I would take some
rain. Are we going to get some?
They say maybe tonight and tomorrow. Nothing like Wednesday.
Well, hopefully it's not raining in Governor Dodge, because we are camping.
Oh, you're camping?
I'm camping. Almost 7 months pregnant. So no one ever tell me that I am... soft.
A princess.
Yes, a princess.
You're going to sleep on the ground with that belly?
I'm going to sleep on an egg crate and an air mattress inside of a tent. And if it doesn't work tonight, I'm checking into a Motel 6. We've already checked, and there's one close by. And we're going to test the waters tonight and see how it goes.
I would think that would be mildly uncomfortable.
So,
I mean, even sleeping in your own bed, things have got to... Is it starting to be a little less comfy?
I'm a pretty hard sleeper. So far I've yet to be like just restless nights, because I can't find a comfortable position. So we're going to test it out. But yeah, this is an annual trip with Mike and his siblings and his cousins. And, you know, I'm going to go, but I did say, I was like, I reserve the right to sleep elsewhere.
It's a pregnancy contingency.
Yes,
plan.
And everyone understood. Most of the other women who have gone have had babies, and so they're like, yeah, that's fine.
That's cool.
I will not get made fun of for being soft. All right. So we were talking about who gets to be the arbiter of truth on social media, and I don't know if anyone has an answer to this because I've yet to get any texts or calls from people answering it. And the truth is, I don't think I have an answer either. I mean, it seems like it's going to be left up to the private companies, because this is what we always talk about, right? Is that free speech protects you from being arrested for what you say. You're allowed to say it, but you're not necessarily allowed to say it on a private company's platform that you sign
right.
user agreements in order to use, right? Like, so if it ends up just being up to them, I just don't know if I trust them. As I said before, like, Elon Musk has let go of so many of the people who were in the department that were in charge of this, as has Meta. I don't know what the department looks like at Google. So it's like you're trusting companies to have the investments and the resources to be the truth tellers, or at least be able to decipher what is too egregious or too untrue that they don't want it on the platform because they're taking responsibility for it. Versus, because it's still not the same standards to what a newspaper does. They're not held to the standards of what can and cannot be published as far as how true, like if it's real or not real. And it's still this really murky area of what they're allowed to do. But without, and I'm not defending that the government always is on the side of the truth, which is why we have newspapers to call them on it.
Yep.
But at least some of these agencies certainly have more information on diseases and criminal activity and trafficking and a lot of stuff that like ends up going through. And we've talked about this on this show as far as Facebook and some of these outlets being major hubs for trafficking young girls and grooming them and basically recruiting them. And so it is interesting to sever those ties and think that there's not going to be ramifications and that these companies have the resources to just do it solo.
But again, why is it in a company's best interest to allow Go Drink Bleach on their site? How does that, I fail to understand why that is good for them. If they only care about traffic, getting traffic and getting hits, I guess, but if you become known for allowing this profligation of BS, how does that work for you as a company? Don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Beyond the moral or ethical side of it, I don't know why it necessarily hurts them either. Like, besides potentially losing a couple of users because they might die
from drinking bleach.
From drinking bleach. Yeah. But I don't know. And so I saved this since Tuesday and I was surprised. I didn't really hear anyone else talk about it because it feels like it's kind of a big deal. And it's going, especially as we go into the election that is already being talked about, of like how much disinformation there's going to be, how much AI generated content that's just completely fabricated and made up there's going to be, and what any of us can do to arm ourselves to try to understand like what we're seeing is real or not real. And so to have this case come down and this ruling about to come down prior to next year's election feels like, oh man, this feels like we're potentially continuing to further open Pandora's box.
I don't disagree with you.
So, all right. Well, I misspoke yesterday. I got my weeks flipped up, but yesterday I said that Phil Nee from WRCE is going to be on. That's next week. Phil's going to be on next week. Chad Holmes from The Chad Holmes Show on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio up there in Wausau, 98.9 FM, 12:30 a.m. He is going to join us when we come back from the break. He's going to let us know what he thinks is the best, the worst, and the weirdest stories of the week. And then at the following segment, we got our weekly quiz, which you're welcome to play along with. But for now, we're going to take a break, and Chad Holmes will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
can hike and I can fish and I can bike, and in the wintertime I can ski, but I'm staring at my shoes.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And our guest for the next half hour is our friend, our colleague, Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, up in Wausau. You can listen to him 8 to 10 a.m. every day, new time slot. And so you had a little bit of a break, and now you're with us. But how's it going, Chad?
Doing good, except I feel like back in school when you'd have to get ready for a test. Because I know there's a test coming up, and I am scared to death to not to fail my test. I got to be ready to go here.
It's
so,
not a little test. Nervous. It's a little bit of a quiz, and it's you talk about the news every day, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
So it's multiple choice too.
It's multiple choice. It's just headlines. It's just fun headlines. So you'll be fine.
I went away on vacation. I sort of tuned off a little bit last week. I've been back into it this week, so I just hope that I'm back into the rhythm and be able to at least sound somewhat intelligent. That's my goal. Every time I open up a microphone, sound somewhat intelligent.
How was your vacation?
It was great. It was just great to get away. It'd been a long time. I had not taken any time off in a year. You know, that's my problem. Because I know I'm like one of these people that I always leave vacation on the table, and it's silly, and it's so good to get away and just to recharge. And by the time you get back, you're ready to go again. Yeah. I'm one of those people where it's like, boy, I'm ready to get back to work and get back to doing what I like to do. So it was great to get away, and it was great to be back as well this week.
Absolutely.
Don't do that, folks. Use your vacation. You earned it.
Exactly.
You earned it.
Even if you don't go anywhere.
Exactly. Do a staycation, whatever.
Just don't go to work for a couple days. Recharge.
Exactly. Oh. And it makes you better when you do get back to work.
Absolutely. Makes you less resentful, right? You're like, oh, I kind of miss some of you people. You still drive me nuts, but it's like, I also missed you.
And hopefully they missed me as well. That's
what yeah, exactly.
A combination of different things.
All right. Well, this is the time of the week that we ask our guest, our Civic Media crossover guest, other hosts from other shows across the Civic Media Network, their best, worst, and weirdest stories of the week. So I guess let's, Chad, let's start with the best. What was the best story that you saw this week?
I thought the best story for me was seeing the governor get under the skin of Robin Voss, because I always enjoy seeing that happen. It's like when I heard that he had extended the school funding for 400 years, my first thought is that has to just totally annoy Robin Voss, and Robin fell into the trap yesterday. And, oh, we can't trust him anymore. Mr. Trust Robin Voss. Okay. But that was my best story of the week.
The fact that they're all saying he's such a liar and he lied and he didn't campaign. It's just, you've got to be kidding me, gavel in and out.
What I mean, this is politics, right? But it is the attempt to assume that most people have short memories. And that if they just talk about what happened yesterday, instead of talking about the long history of distrust between the two parties, specifically the players in both parties, and who's done what for how long, and the examples you can throw up. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? What about when Scott Walker had a 1,000-year extension to, what was it that you can't, something, there was also something with schools. I was reading about it yesterday as far as there was something with school referendums in 2017 that he changed it from 2018 to 3018. And, you know, and Tommy Thompson with like 451 or 57, you know, line item vetoes back in 1991 and stuff like that. So you can go back a pretty long ways of saying who's done what and how bad is it.
And Tommy was the master. He would go in there and change letters and he was literally like a surgeon in there, where it was like completely changed the meaning of the bill in the most, you would call it brilliant way. But
depending on which side you are, you called it brilliant.
Yeah, no, but it was truly that way. And for people like Robin Voss to go, oh my, I can't believe he did something like that. I mean, it's just, again, that's why it's important to know what has happened in the past, because everything that happens seems to have, I think, something to do with either a personal slight or a professional slight. Yeah. But it's not just basically on its own. This is a 25-30 year process where the line item veto has been such a major portion of the Wisconsin budget process each and every 2 years.
This is not entirely related to the subject of line item vetoes, but I just do want to remind folks that it was the Republican Party of Wisconsin that tried to gut the open records law a number of years ago in the middle of the night on a Friday of a 4th of July weekend until they got caught. Just throwing it out there, that kind of sticks with me a little bit. And the fact that no one had to admit they authored that bill, which is wrong.
Right. I mean, again, there's so much that goes on where it just feels like, you know, the little things that you can do to make the whole process work smoother. And when you pull stunts like that, when you see, you know, pulling the education funding at 3 a.m, I mean, it's just, let's be adults about this. And so often it doesn't feel like we're being adults about it. We're just trying to slide something in, you know, under the door, like trying to drop in that term paper under the professor's door and not have them see it. It's just do it the right way. And then, you know, you talk about the battle of ideas. If we could just battle the ideas, the whole system would work so much smoother. And that's, I think, one of the problems that we have right now is it's all about the 24/7 news cycle, having a 15-minute segment to get your base, you know, up in arms about something. It's making for just basic governing so much more difficult.
Absolutely. We're talking to Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show up on WXCO 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. He is our guest for our crossover Civic Media Fridays. And we are moving on to what, Chad, was the worst story of the week?
Oh, man. I'm so baffled. And again, this will be the budget. The idea that the governor was not able to do anything. The idea that in this time of massive surpluses that the UW system would be cut. I'm somebody who graduated from a UW system school. I would not be here today if not for my college experience. And I just think, you know, when I think of what Representative Voss has been talking about with this, it's basically sounds like he wants everybody to be just a cog in the economic machine. Well, higher education is so much more than that. It's about experiencing new things. It's about expanding your mind. It's about, you know, finding out things that you may never thought about doing. It's about learning from people that you may never have thought about talking to. It's so much more. And when it gets down to this pettiness, I just think of what I would have been missing if I would not have had the opportunity to be in theater. I never thought I would do that. And I was in school.
Be in our play, Chad. We're going to eventually be in a play. You want to be in our
I would love to do it. I tell you, I tell people all the time, I said, because I love what I do with this. I don't think I'd be involved in this, or at least at the level to keep a job for any length of time, unless I'd had that experience. And I never expected it when I went to school. I started here in Wausau at the center and then went on to Eau Claire. And it's like, and then you learn from different people. And it just feels like right now, Robin Voss says, well, everything the university should do should be based on whether or not that it helps the economy. No, higher education is so much more than that, because life is so much more than that. And that really bothers me, that people should be able to find out things that they just love to do, and just to have a better base of knowledge to make us better citizens, to be able to make better decisions when it comes to deciding, you know, who to vote for or what policies that we want to support or anything like that.
Well, and I think that's a thing, understanding what's going to end up happening now, because I feel like Jay Rothman has been, there's two sides of how he's come across, like I would say in his first year, really, has it been in 1 year, 2 years since he took over for the UW system? And like, on the one hand, I applaud his defense of the DEI programs, which is exactly what they're trying to go after with these budget cuts, they being Voss and the Republicans, and arguing why it's important. It's important for the school. It's important for the students. But at the same time, as our friend Todd Alba has talked about many times, of the kind of secrecy around closing the Richland Center Platteville campus, and also the, you know, basically Jerry Rothman also saying, like, there could be future closures of other smaller campuses if we don't get this funding. And so, like, understanding the ramifications of not only not getting in any kind of increase for the UW system, but actually getting less, and what campuses that's going to affect downstream. Because I think, you know, Madison, let's call a spade, is like the crown jewel. And so there's other campuses that are going to get affected and even close before Madison gets a huge ding, I think.
Well, you're exactly right. I think it's a pretty clear pathway. And you talk about Richland Center, and then you talk about the other two-year schools, the two-year centers. We have one here in Wausau. Now it's called UW-Stevens Point at Wausau. Those of us who went to it when it was called the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County are still annoyed by that, because for me, it was very important. I wasn't ready to go to a four-year school when that happened. It was so great to be able to stay here in town, stay at home, save some money. And I thought the staff and everything that we were able to do was right up to the level. And it, again, it afforded opportunities within the college. And it was a springboard to go then to Eau Claire and then get off and live my life. But I think that anybody that has a two-year center should be very worried, because I've listened to Todd as well. It's a situation like that where Todd, I think, has been really on top of it. And, you know, I think all these two-year centers have to be keeping a very close eye on what's going on within the system.
Absolutely. All right. Then our final question. What was the weirdest story you saw this week, Chad?
It actually was this morning. I came in and I was just going through some different stories, you know, thinking of, you know, finding out what's going on in terms of what to talk about. And on our WasaDailyHerald.com site, there's a story about Representative Mike Gallagher talking about the Barbie movie.
I saw that.
The idea that the Barbie movie is being caught the attention of the man that is chairman of this subcommittee concerning China. And again, it's a perfect 15-minute segment for Fox News or Newsmax or One America News as well. This felt like this guy is talking about a child's map, seeing some dots on it and making it into some sort of neo-political statement. I just found that to be odd.
Well, it's funny because it's actually a bigger, I was looking into this because Vietnam has banned the whole movie.
I did see that as well.
Yeah. And so it is there. I don't know the extent of what it's basically. Those dots on the map are something that's been repudiated in court, but it's like China's signal that they owned that part of the South China, like, sea. And that's not actually the case. And so the fact that it's also just a weird thing that the Barbie movie would put it in there in general, but then also to see Mike Gallagher, like, that's what he's making comments on, is also very weird. Like, the whole thing is very weird. So good choice in that story.
Hey, it's nice to know the Republicans are focused on kitchen table issues.
And that's what I was going to say as well, because there is actually, and I think you hit it right, Kristen, in terms, there is an issue. And we've seen it with the NBA. The yep. NBA's has some issues with China as well. And with
appeasing
Hollywood
them.
Here. There is an issue here. But the way Gallagher goes about it, instead of talking to this Warner Brothers studio, who's the studio behind the Barbie movie. Again, it's all about not being serious about it. Are you looking for something to rattle the cage, or are you looking to actually solve a problem?
You mean,
because
when
there are issues involved here.
You mean when he went on the Pat McAfee show wearing a John Cena shirt? That wasn't a serious thing? All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, Chad, are you nervous? You nervous for this quiz? I think it's going to be easier than you think it is.
I am gripping. I was like on the airplane when we had some turbulence. I'm gripping right now the sides of my chair.
All right, we'll be back with this week's headline quiz when we return with Chad Holmes, Jane Matinere. I'm Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
USA, and the only thing missing is you. Wausau, Wisconsin is a faraway place.
just above the tension line. They've got concerts on the square in the Wisconsin Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are joined by Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show on Bulls Falls Radio, WXCO, from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right before we come on. And this is the time of the week that we do a little bit of a headline quiz where our guest goes against Jane. And we have six questions that are multiple choice, and then one question at the end. And whoever answers first gets the point. Chad, you are yes, you got your buzzer. Chad, since you are the guest, you get to choose if you get to go first or second.
Let's go first.
You're gonna really
let's set the tone.
You're
let's
gonna really like tone. That you chose to go first because we actually already talked about the first question. So, number one, which country banned Barbie for showing a map of a disputed territory? Is it A, Pakistan, B, China, C, Egypt, D, Vietnam?
D, Vietnam.
There
ding,
we
ding,
go.
Ding, ding, well
ding,
done.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. So, Chad has one. Keep score up at the top. All right, Jane. Which airline is giving some customers 30,000 frequent flyer miles to make up for significant travel disruptions? Is it A, American, B, United, C, Spirit, D, Southwest?
I will go with United.
Ding, ding, ding. That is also correct.
Although I would have thought all of them would do that, but...
Yeah. Do you? Did you really think all of them would do that?
Of course
not. All right, Chad, what did Subway, the sandwich shop, add this week to 20,000 restaurants? A, a new scent. B, reformulated tuna filling. C, freshly sliced deli meats. D, a salad menu.
This is a guess, but I know that in the recent past, there was talk about the tuna. So I'm going to say B, the tuna filling.
Can I steal?
We've never done stealing
never
before.
Done a steal? Okay.
I think for now, we have to say no stealing.
Okay.
It is, in fact, sliced deli meats.
Oh.
And they're putting in like these really fancy slicers.
Yeah, I saw that too. And so it's supposed to be like, it's funny because as soon as I saw the story, all I could think of was the Last Week Tonight episode when John Oliver goes hard on Subway and like how like corrupt and weird that whole franchise is. And I was like, oh, that seems like a nice thing for these people that otherwise get screwed over all the time, it sounds like. All right, so back to Jane. Which state senator put out a press release this week in response to Governor Evers' tax cut veto saying, with his, quote, with his veto message today, Governor Evers said, F the taxpayers, they don't know a GD thing about spending their own money. Was it Senator LaTanya Johnson, Senator Van Wangard, Senator Chris Kapanga, Senator Dewey Strobel, my buddy?
I will go with Van.
It was Van. And it's shocking because for the amount of stories that were written and hubbub that was made on Twitter when Senator Johnson cursed on the floor.
Whole different thing, right?
I saw very, very, like a lot less hubbub about, and it was in response, like he was playing, and he did bleep it out. He didn't actually put the asterisks in it, but, you know, can't get too spicy. All right. Back to Chad. Governor Evers used 51 line item vetoes before signing the budget, including one that affects how much money Visit Milwaukee will get for the RNC. The Republican budget gave them $10 million. What are they getting now? $1,000? $10,000? $100,000? $1 million?
$1 million.
Ding, ding, ding.
And if they want the other $9 million, I'm sure the Eline family would be able to cover the cost. So
I feel like they'll probably, and this is, I am friends with Visit Milwaukee. I like Visit Milwaukee. This is not a ding against them. It's just, as we go back to just if you don't laugh, you're going to cry pettiness of all of this.
Yes.
This is that, oh, you changed it from 10 million to 1 million. Okay. Got it. All right. Back to Jane. Joey, how many hot dogs and buns did Joey Chestnut eat to win the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest? Was it A, 62, B, 69, C, 81, or D, 109?
I think it's 62.
It was. All indeed, right. It was 62. All right, so what is it? Do you have three? Is it 3-2 right now?
I believe so.
All right.
Boy, she's tough. She is tough.
She's tough. She's, you know, we, you
know. I
forced her to read a lot of news, Chad. All right.
She beats me, Chad.
which annual festival began this week, Chad? San Diego Comic-Con? How are we ending with you? We started with you. I don't know. We screwed it up. We got to go. This is how serious this quiz should be taken.
Yes.
Which annual festival began this week? San Diego Comic-Con, Running of the Bulls, Bonnaroo, or Firefest?
Running of the Bulls.
Ding, ding, ding. I know. I didn't really hear much about it either. I feel like it's a big thing to have less such little fanfare. All right. You both should get this. It's now just a matter of who can get it first.
Okay.
So whoever answers first gets the point. What year did Evers extend the public school funding increases until?
2045.
No.
2425.
Ding. Got it. It's a tie.
Rats.
It's a tie. All right.
Well done, Chad.
I got to say, you got in there so fast. I was about to talk. I was like, holy cow, she was so fast. But get those numbers. They all come together.
Whatever. All right, Chad, people can find you 8 to 10 a.m. on, if they're not in the range of WXCO, they can always listen to you on the app, Civic Media app. But what's just give us a quick minute rundown of your show.
Anything and everything for Central Wisconsin. We talked to political figures, got the mayor, got others who are involved in city government. We talk about events. We have every other week our executive director of the Grand Theater talking about, which is, I think, one of the great, wonderful venues in Wisconsin, right here in Wausau with the Grand. And we talk about sports. I'd like to keep it. You don't know what you're going to hear. I don't want to be boring. So it's like, if I talk about Ron Johnson too much, I think people get bored.
Fair. You gotta mix it up a little bit. So, all right. Exactly. Well, you can catch him 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 a.m. or on the Civic Media app.
Get the app,
Chad. So much fun talking to you. Have a great weekend. And we'll catch you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jim Malowitz from Wisconsin Watch about the very limited options for students in Wisconsin who have disabilities. It is not a light story, but an important one. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down.